Well, hello again. This is Rupert Matthews, National Campaign Manager for Better Off Out. Now, last week our podcast took the form of a report from the London European Referendum Conference that was organised by Gerard Batten. He's the UKIP member of the European Parliament for London. And this week we return to that conference for two special pieces. The first is a talk by Councillor Lawrence Webb of UKIP. The second is the full speech that was given by Professor Tim Congdon, one of the most intelligent of the economists working for Brexit. So first we have Councillor Lawrence Webb, and as you'll hear, he's talking about an exciting initiative that he managed to get underway on the council in London, where he's one of the councillors. Right, I'm at the London UKIP referendum conference. We've had a fantastic time, some great speakers here. But I bumped into Lawrence Webb. Now, you're the leader of UKIP on the London Borough of Havering Council.
Correct.
And one thing that was mentioned here earlier, I thought absolutely fantastic, you managed to get the council to pass a motion saying they thought Britain should leave the European Union. But you don't control the council, it must have been cross-party initiative. How on earth did you manage to get that done?
Absolutely. Well, the motion was actually that the council agreed that Britain would be better off out of the EU. Obviously we can't leave. There was some controversy about why we've posted it now. Well, in the next few weeks, we're going to be setting our budgets as our councillors up and down the country. And I'm sure in most cases, it's going to see the services streamlined, if not cut. And at the same time, council tax is going up. So I thought it was absolutely relevant that we discuss and debate at this point, you know, what the costs of EU regulation is to local authorities. And there are vast many areas where EU rules and regulations directly impact on the cost of council supplying those services, and of course in many cases they're just passed on to the council taxpayer. So with a discussion with the other members of the group, to say there's only six UKIP councillors out of 54, so this was very much a cross-party motion with people from the Conservatives, Independents and Independent residents all agreeing that Britain would be better off outside the EU. And the discussion on the night covered things like the landfill directive and the cost implication to local authorities. It's reckoned that that adds about £50 to the average council tax bill. There are other things like the free movement of people, which is a fundamental principle of the EU, not up for renegotiation by Cameron. And of course, that has a massive impact on local authorities. We all know about the housing crisis. There isn't a housing crisis, there's an immigration crisis. And the point here is that if someone from Spain presents themselves to a local authority, that local authority has a statutory obligation to house them. Now, that person could have a string of villas in Marbella. We don't know about it. They present themselves as homeless. We must find them a home. And, of course, what that has done is it's forced up rents. Many people have been forced out of accommodation, evicted by landlords who think they can make more money elsewhere. And what it's resulted in is a lot of families being pushed into bed and breakfast. We've got a proliferation of HMOs, housing multiple occupation, in the borough. And of course, when somebody is in bed and breakfast, that's a direct cost to the council. In addition to that, we're having to massively increase the school places, because once again, a child presenting themselves to the local authority, we have a legal obligation to find a school place for them. And it is impossible to set a meaningful budget when we don't know year on year how many people are coming into the borough. When we had a fairly static population, you could predict year on year what the population was going to be. It's now exploded and there's a huge cost to local authorities. So it was absolutely right that we debated it. And at the end of the debate, we all agreed that Havering Council, that Britain would be better off out of the EU.
Well, that's fantastic news. Now, presumably you managed to get some media coverage with this as well.
Yes, it picked up. I think it's been on many of the online newspapers. BBC London News, ITV London News have covered it. I was on the BBC World Tonight. I think we very much caught the in camp by surprise. But no, there's been a lot of publicity. There's still ongoing. I shall be on Sunday Politics tomorrow, where you'll see some of the debate live, or you could indeed watch it on the Havering webcam if you wanted to.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much. That was Councillor Lawrence Webb from the London Borough of Havering, where they've passed a motion saying that Britain would be better off out of the European Union. If any of you listeners want extra details of that, you can send me an email. I'll get the details up on our website so you can look at it. And indeed, if any of you are councillors and want to support a similar initiative around your way, that would be a great thing to do. And again, we'll be putting onto our website, www.betteroffout.net, details about how you can go about doing that. Thank you very much, Councillor Webb. Thank you. And our second piece this week is a speech given by Professor Tim Congdon. Now, this speech, as you will hear, is a very measured and carefully constructed look at the way in which the European Union impacts on the British economy and on other aspects of our national life. It was delivered to an absolutely packed hall at the Abbey Centre. There were over 200 people present. In places, of course, you can hear the crowd interrupting, so I'm afraid that's the nature of these live recordings. But it really is worth listening to. One of the most interesting talks I've ever listened to.
Thanks, Speaker. Thank you, Tim.
Well, great pleasure to be here this afternoon. As you know, after dinner speakers crack jokes, and I'm one of the after lunch speakers, and I've been given the graveyard slot, as it's sometimes called. And ladies and gentlemen, it gets worse, because as you may also know, I'm an economist, and economics has been called a dismal science, so you see before you a dismal scientist. Having said all that, I was economic spokesman, my name's Tim Congdon, I was economic spokesman for UK Defence Authority from 2010 to 2014. And one of the many pleasures I had in that role was indeed to put together these documents. Gerard started them back in 2006. And we'll try and make them annual. They're quite hard work, but there we are. I saw my job as economic spokesman as being to provide facts, provide ideas, and so on for us, the port body infantry, FBI, in our debates that we had over the last few years. Obviously, we're on the threshold of a very big national debate now. And again, my job, coming up with other people, is to provide facts, ideas, arguments, and so on. And that's what I want to do this afternoon. You win debates, first, because you have good arguments. You have the right arguments. You win debates because you believe in those arguments, and you convey them with passion, conviction, with belief, and so on. And finally, thirdly, you persuade other people that you're right, and then you win the debate. So what I want to do is to set out some of the reasons why I believe we must leave the European Union. They are economic arguments. May I also just say before I move on that although, yes, I'm an economist, dismal scientist, that in fact, to me, this isn't really about economics. It's about, you know, my country, it's about politics, it's about my identity. And even if by leaving the European Union I was to be poorer, my country was to be poorer, I would still want Britain out of the European Union. It really is about who we are and what we, you know, what kind of country we want to live in. Of course it is. Having said all that, actually, we would be much better off out. Much better off out. One of the key points that Gerard did back in 2006 and in subsequent issues of this document was to distinguish between two kinds of costs that we incur because we're in the European Union. There's the direct cost, and that is the cost that because we pay taxes to the government then pays this money to European Union institutions, and this is a direct payment to the EU institutions for the EU's purposes. Okay. But then there are many other costs of an indirect nature. And what I really want to hammer home this afternoon is that the indirect costs are much larger. And I'm going to just spend a few minutes on that. Now, on the direct costs, they have risen sharply while David Cameron has been Prime Minister. And one of the worst things about David Cameron is that he's a liar. He has said, while he's been Prime Minister, that he you know, uniquely has actually reduced the European Union budget. Oh, no, he hasn't. And he certainly hasn't reduced Britain's contribution to the EU's budget, because the figures are actually in official white papers to show that he's wrong. The cost of you pay some money in, we get some money back, there's the rebate and there's some spending here, but the net cost to Britain has risen from about 4 billion or so when Blair and Gordon Brown were Prime Minister to over 10 billion in the last couple of years. The exact figure, by the way, is you wonder what 10 billion pounds is. It's I think the way to think about this for a household, it's the cost of a nice weekend holiday. All right? It's not dramatic, but actually it's a cost. You know, some people actually save up for the weekend holiday, you know, 6 months' time, and it's a cost. The gross cost, what we pay in and some comes back, is more like 20 billion pounds, 55 billion pounds a day. And mind you, that's a better measure of the cost, because some of the money that comes back is very badly spent, and it's not just, by the way, UKIP view that it's badly spent. Governments, all parties, have wanted the spending of that money repatriated because they know it's spent badly by the EU bureaucracy. So the direct cost is £10 billion plus, or about £20 billion. If you want to give the full figure, it's about, I would say, 1.25% of GDP, and I know I'm an economist, I've already used the phrase GDP. That's how much we produce as a nation. It's a bit more than 1% of what we produce as a nation. It's an issue. Of course, the other 99% is ours, so it should be. But let me now just emphasise that the indirect costs are much, much larger. These costs are under various headings. And you'll see it all set out in this document. And by the way, in the rather bulky documents I produced in 2012 and 2013, all on my website, by the way, timgonglandukip.com. The first cost is regulation. We have to have more electricity from renewables. That's costly. Our labour market is subject to all sorts of rules and regulations from the European Commission. That's costly. There's all sorts of rules and regulations about products and substances that come from the European Union. That's costly. And then I think the more and more important nowadays, there's regulation on the City of London on international financial services, which again is having major costs for city industries. I give a figure for these costs of over 6% of GDP, 6% of what we produce as a nation. That sounds like a large sum of money, it is, and I am prepared to defend that, because let me just emphasise this. This is very important. You will see that every single statement I make in here is not my opinion. It is supported by a footnote and a reference to an authority on the subject. All right? It's not me that said these things. It's somebody who knows what they're talking about, all right? The second big cost is, I'm an economist, resources allocation. I know, blind to the science. We pay too much for some of our imports, and we don't get enough for some of our exports, okay? That's what it really means. We pay too much for our food, we pay too much for a number of industrial products nowadays. The Commission has become rather protectionist in some areas, and so we're worse off for that reason. And then there are a miscellany of things that have become important in the last 2 years. Obviously, there's been immigration, mass immigration from the rest of the European Union. That has meant fewer jobs for some people in this country, lower wages, and lower. Certainly, people like building contractors having to compete with Poles and so on, they're well aware that they're getting less than they would have got otherwise. That has reduced the incomes of, if you like, the long-term British. There's been people coming here to use the NHS. There's been health tourism, as it's called. There's benefit tourism, where, you know, people come in to work here, they get tax credits, particularly that kind of level. From Eastern Europe, they come and they work at a little bit beneath the national average, they get tax credits, they send them home, you know, to Eastern Europe. It's a cost to us. And also, we have to make payments into various EU funds in case Greece goes bust again. That's a cost to us as well. So I added all these up, and I came in 2012, the first one of these I did, to 10% of GDP. Nice round number. I didn't expect to get 10% of GDP, just what came out, you know, from all these different sources. It wasn't my point of view. The treatment of GDP was Patrick Minford, you know, my mate Patrick Minford. All of these figures came from other sources. They didn't. I said why I put them in there. Okay. We are poorer because of these indirect costs. They are huge costs. Now, how am I going for time? By the way, let me just make clear one point. I'm not claiming. That as and when we leave the European Union, you know, tomorrow morning we're better off by 10% of GDP. We really could be better off by that, you know, 1% of GDP, which is what we pay to the institutions. The damage from the EU has been cumulative over 40 years, and particularly over the last 20 or so years. Okay, it will take a long time for us to recover. You know, to get the right. An energy policy to overcome the effects of EU labour market regulations. All these things will take time. But it's that kind of number that is the right kind of number to think about. We are much, much worse off because we belong to the EU than we would be if we had remained, from the 1970s, an independent sovereign nation. I want to close, and I know we'll leave some time for questions and answers. I want to close simply by reiterating what Gerard said in his own remarks. I'm in favour of free trade. I think that back in the early 1970s, there was an argument of a sort for Britain joining the European Union, or common markets it then was, because there would have been free trade in industrial products with our European neighbours. Good. The truth is that nowadays that case can no longer be made for two reasons. One is the whole world since the 1970s has moved towards free trade. In that sense, capitalism has won the debate, free trade has become the norm, China has become a free trader, you know, it used to be completely closed, communist and so on. And the other reason is that the EU has reached free trade agreements with significant nations outside Europe. And that's all that we ever wanted. All right? Most people in Britain did not want their country to surrender its sovereignty, did not want to become part of the United States of Europe, you know, which, you know, we're just like, you know, Illinois or Florida or something, but we're just, you know, part of this United States of Europe. No, we didn't want that. And as Gerard has very correctly highlighted, the Canadian agreement between the EU and Canada could also be between the EU and the UK. We continue to be friends with our neighbours, continue to trade with our neighbours, continue to visit our neighbours, and so on, just as we want. We can govern ourselves. That is why we must be the European Union. This is a leap into the dark. This is an abyss. This is like going to outer space. For heaven's sake, look around the world. There are 170 countries that are not in the European Union. Let's just join them, just like any other country in the world. So, we leave the European Union, and then we can trade freely, happily in some of our neighbours. We can have what we've always wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got the best arguments. We have got the best arguments. And for the economics front, they're going to make sure we keep having the best arguments. We believe in those arguments too. All right. I mean, I think one of the things that's kind of going to come out in the next few months is the relative, like, passion. I mean, passion is a cliche word, but the passion of the two sides. You'll see that the people on our side really believe what they're saying. On the other side, they don't. Win the debate and Britain's going to become an independent country again. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. That wraps it up for this week. Don't forget that you can learn more about the Better Off Out campaign on our website, www.betteroffout.net. We're also on Facebook, Twitter. We've got our own YouTube channel as well, and so on. So if you're interested in working for Brexit, if you want to see Britain free of the European Union, check us out. Get involved. More the merrier when it comes to this sort of campaign. Cheerio. See you next week.